How does this experience change your perspective on practicing oncology, if at all?
Well, it's changed it dramatically. It's very difficult for me to give toxic chemotherapy to a patient now because I know what they're going to feel like. And I have much empathy when I have to treat someone with, say, you know, TAC chemotherapy, for instance, or TCH or something. I know what they're going to feel like. I know the day in and day out sensation of being so incredibly fatigued that you can't get out of bed. I know what the anemia feels like, the nausea, the malaise. And it's very hard to know that I'm putting women through this, but I have to focus on the fact that we're hopefully getting rid of their breast cancer.
What about the decisions that you make now as an oncologist? Do you think they're different than before?
I think I tend to use less aggressive chemotherapy than I used to. I have a tendency to use more CMF, especially because I tend to treat a more elderly population. I approach the patients differently as well. I mean, I talk to them and I try to warn them and say, just know you're going to be sick. There are going to be days where you don't feel like getting out of bed. You're going to need people to help you. You're facing something that may be the most difficult thing you've ever gone through. But this is necessary if we're going to get rid of this cancer.
What about using trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting? Did you start using that in your patients?
I am treating some women with adjuvant trastuzumab.
Did you start doing that before these data just came out? Had you been doing that the last couple of years?
Yes, I've been doing it for about 2 years. Women with more than 4 positive lymph nodes, actually.
What about patients with node-negative tumors? Have you offered trastuzumab to node-negative patients?
No, I have not. Not yet.
How do you feel about the decision that you made in terms of the therapy you received for the breast cancer?
I think it was the right decision. I'm very comfortable with the decision.
What's your perspective on the way decisions are made in oncology in general right now? What do you see around you?
I think that most oncologists seem to be trying to do evidence-based oncology, but it is such a complicated field that it's really all over the map in terms of choices of chemotherapy agents. I don't see much consistency from one oncologist to the next.
How did you feel when you found out about the new data that's just come out early in the last few weeks on the use of adjuvant trastuzumab showing that it works?
I was very, very glad to see that. You know, I feel that my beliefs were confirmed, basically.
How has this experience changed your perspective on life in general, so to speak?
It's helped me to slow down and helped me to make sure that I find time to be out of the office. And it's convinced me that I really do need to work from 9 to 6, which is what I do now, and never in my office past 6 p.m.
What was it that was causing you to work 16 hours a day?
Not wanting to turn a patient away, and now realizing that there are other oncologists, and, you know, that we're all able to see patients, and sometimes it's good to call a colleague and enlist their help.
What about the experience with Hodgkin's disease? What was that like for you? What was going on with your life at that time?
I was a senior in college, and actually at that time was planning to be a veterinarian. And that experience of getting daily radiation and seeing the technology that was involved got me very interested in the field of medicine, and that actually has led me to where I am today.
You know, your case really brings up the whole issue of, you know, how much evidence you need in order to make a decision or to embark upon a therapy. People talk about women with breast cancer wanting to receive chemotherapy for a 1% improvement. That's always quoted. And it's so hard to grasp into that. And you wonder whether or not the fear of recurrence is actually causing people to make illogical decisions, you know, sort of numerically, if you follow what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
It may seem illogical to somebody that's not having to live with it. But 1% is important to somebody that's a breast cancer survivor. I think most cancer survivors would be willing to go through a significant amount of toxicity for a 1% benefit, especially younger patients. I don't know that it would necessarily apply to 75 and 80-year-old patients, but certainly people in their 40s and 50s would definitely be willing to subject themselves to a lot of toxicity.
How did the experience of having Hodgkin's disease at such a young age affect you as a person? What was it like to go through that experience?
I came to terms with my own mortality at a much earlier age than most young people do. It led me to have more of an interest and kind of a comfort in dealing with people in the last phases of their life. Even going through medical school, I was very interested and involved in the issues related to death and dying. And prior to becoming an oncologist, actually was a hospice director for several years. So I feel that I've come very close to that side of life on several occasions now. And it helps me in facing patients that are terminal and really at the end of their life.
How do you think you deal with patients in that situation differently maybe than someone else?
I'm very comfortable with it. I feel that I have a pretty good sense of what happens at the end of life. And I'm there to help the patient, to guide that patient through that process, and also to help their families. I think the most important thing that I find with patients is giving them a chance to talk and listening to what their concerns are and their fears. I know that in the past, my style was basically to give patients a lot of information and say, this is what we're going to do, and just kind of go through it all. And I now stand back and say, this is what I would suggest, but what do you think?
What do you think the patient's greatest concerns are in that situation?
I think it's fear of what they're about to experience. And I try to walk patients through and get a sense of what their own belief system is about death and dying, and whether they believe in an afterlife and various spiritual and religious aspects, and try to get them to voice it. I find that if people can actually talk about it, that a lot of times that will go a long way towards relieving those fears.
What concerns do you yourself have about your future?
I'm concerned that the breast cancer will return. That fear is always kind of sitting over my shoulder. It's not something that's immediately in front of me, but it's something that's with me. With my pulmonary disease, which at the moment seems to be stabilized, I certainly hope that it's not going to deteriorate. And basically, I'm focusing on just living my life much more simply than I did previously.
Would you consider yourself a happy or content person?
Yes.
What is it that gives you the greatest satisfaction?
To know that I can reach out and help people through what is probably the most difficult thing they're going to experience.
Have you always felt that way?
More so since I had my own cancer experience. I very much enjoy practicing oncology and always have. But since my cancer experience, it's become a much better quality of an experience for me as a person.
Do you think that you are providing better care now?
Yes.
In what way?
I am able to connect with patients. It's rare that I can't connect with a patient in some way.